Purdue Global Radio. From Indianapolis, Indiana to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Purdue Global Radio. Purdue Global Radio.
Hello, my name is Glenn Walton, and I'm a professor teaching marketing and management courses, and you're listening to Purdue Global Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Marty McDermott. Hey, are you interested in marketing? If so, check out an exciting course called MT357 Digital Marketing. This course provides an in-depth look at the way the internet is changing the landscape for marketing goods and services in the global environment. You'll learn about theory and practice, such as concepts like the cloud, search engine algorithms, social media impact, developing a successful digital marketing strategy, cybersecurity, and ethical considerations associated with digital marketing. Talk to your advisor today about taking MT357 Digital Marketing.
Purdue Global Radio. From Indianapolis, Indiana to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Purdue Global Radio. Purdue Global Radio.
Today, well, we're meeting with the telephone doctor, Nancy Friedman. And Nancy is an expert on customer service, communication skills, and sales. Nancy Friedman is a sought-after keynote customer service speaker at annual conferences, franchise, and corporate meetings, both large and small. Her programs are inspiring, motivational, and entertaining, creating a memorable session all attendees can use immediately and forever. Fun, distinctive, fast-paced, and energy-filled, this customer service speaker's fast wit and laugh-out-loud audience participation has everyone wanting more, including myself. Labeled a don't-miss session, Nancy always delivers the goods. And today, Nancy and I are going to have a conversation on the four C's of communication: COVID, civility, culture, and customers. Hi, Nancy. How are you? Thank you for coming on the show today.
Are you kidding? You're one of the faves and the best. I
well,
no smoking,
I say likewise.
No smoke in your face, sir. No smoke in your face. It's just always a pleasure. You're a good listener, and you ask the best questions.
Thank you. As a former franchisor,
I'm eager to get to you. Well, it's the truth.
You know,
so
it's
lay
funny,
it on me, baby.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I realize, you know, we haven't. I feel like we've spoken, but we haven't, I don't think. You know, I follow you so much on social media. I subscribe to your newsletter, but I don't think we've spoken since COVID, have we, on the phone or an interview?
You're right, Marty, not during COVID. And we've never met, which is
that's
not
the funny part of our
day.
Relationship. It is
but
funny.
I know that if we met for a cup of coffee or a drink, your choice, drink, if we met, my guess is we would pick it up right where we left off. That's
yes.
The kind of personalities that we both have, I guess.
That's right.
Which is funny.
It's so true. You know, today, Nancy, we're going to talk about the four C's of communication. It's such an interesting topic because, you know, the theme of our show, I mean, it was hard to get through a single show without talking about COVID. And, you know, like so many companies over the last couple of years, many, of course, were hit with frustrations, fears, and things that they didn't know how to handle. Your situation was interesting too, Nancy, because, you know, for people who don't know you, I mean, your presentations to me, when I see them, you know, on YouTube, I mean, it's almost like a rock concert to some extent. You know, I mean, you were in the face of your customers, but you had a pivot during COVID as well, didn't you? What was that experience like for you?
Okay, do you want? I guess I can tell it. I've been going for 20 years to an exercise to a very famous, not a famous gym, but a good gym here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID hit, they had to close. And I said to Dick, you know, we've got a beautiful gym downstairs. Why aren't we using it? We shouldn't use it to hang our clothes on. So
we
went downstairs. And one day I thought I was 35 years old. And I got on a health rider. You're familiar with that. And
yes.
It pulled it back and forth as strong as I could, as long as I could, 5 days, you know, 5 days in a row. And
mm-hmm.
The following week, real pains under my chest area, I guess boobs would be the
no.
best word. But anyway,
right.
And I thought I pulled some muscles. And so I called the doctor. She said, heat and ice.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I said, hey, pain's still there, heat and ice. So after the third week, I said, something's wrong. Muscles shouldn't last this long, bad muscles.
Right.
So they came in. They said, well, let's do a chest x-ray. So they did a chest x-ray. And the next day, I get a call say, hey, there's an abnormal nodule on your lung.
What's
an abnormal nodule?
Right.
They go in, they do a biopsy, stage 1 cancer. Now, The good news is they removed the lobe, they took out the cancer, and no chemo and no radiation.
Wow.
Here's the theory. COVID saved my life. Talk about a pivotal turn.
Right.
Had I been at the gym, I would have been exercising properly because they would not have let me do that.
Right.
And I may not be talking to you here today. So every day is a gift, as we know.
Wow.
I am very grateful. I don't know how else to say it. I can make that story an hour long or just as short as I did. So.
Right. No, but
you know, material.
I didn't even know that, Nancy. Yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, I hear a lot of stories like yours, you know. I mean, it seems like everyone has, you know, their own COVID story, you know, to some extent. But it was interesting, you know, because I did think about you during COVID when this was going on. You know, it was interesting because you created this whole Zoom program information, and I understand it's become very successful, hasn't it?
Our Zoom programs, I'm blessed. Yeah, I you know, a little bit has to do with the fact that my professional career and that I'm not interested in going blah 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 blah.
Right.
So it's very interactive.
Yes.
It's fun. We give prizes. I think it's called I Go Across the Lights, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm delighted with it. This is the first time I'm saying this, so you're getting, what do they call it, a scoop?
Yeah.
I was chosen for IFA to do a third in a year, my third time in the third year in a row, I should say, for the roundtable.
Wow.
And I was so excited, and I mentioned to my doctor, I'm going to be going to San Diego for IFA, and she said, how many people go there? I said, well, I'm told it's a record, possibly 4,000. She says, you're not going.
Oh, no.
You're not going. You cannot put yourself into 4,000 people who you don't know. Don't know if they've been vaccinated. Don't want, you know, and I thought long and hard, and after I cried it out, I called Paul Rocchio, who you must know. And anyway, he was so kind. He said, you know, health is more important, so I'm not able to go. But through shows like this, like yours, and maybe, I don't know, but yeah, I'm not going to IFA in San Diego. Are you going?
I'm not going, Nancy. No, we had some, you know, similar issues with my wife, you know, she's been in and out of the hospital the last couple of months.
Oh.
And so with our situation, we have to be very careful that I don't get sick or my son gets sick because I mean, she's having these blood platelet issues and it's been terrible. So it's like we've been indoors a lot, you know, and it's fine. I mean, you know, we all get along with each other. You know, we enjoy each other's company, just like, you know, you enjoy, you know, spending time with your husband, Dick. But, you know, I understand, you know, what you just told me, you know, it's a scary time, you know.
Some people don't know they have underlying issues, and that's why they get so sick.
Right.
So thank God, you know, but you can, anyway, I hope she gets out and well, and
I'm doing my best. I really am. You've written some great articles too. As I told you, Nancy, I subscribe to your newsletter, so I do read, you know, a lot of the articles you wrote. One of the interesting ones I thought was you had some post COVID customer service tips. I want to see if I could tell you this story in 30 seconds, but you might be able to relate to it. My mom during COVID, she was terrified to leave the house. She's older. She's approaching her 80s. And unfortunately, her cell phone died and she had to get a new one. She couldn't get it at the store, so she had to order it online. And they mailed it to her at her house. And she's like, okay, now what do I do? You know, and yes, so she calls customer service, and they're trying to help her, you know, put it together. And 3 hours on the phone, I mean, by the end of the call, she was crying because she was just so frustrated with customer service. I think not everybody was prepared for this, right? But I mean, especially when it came to the customer service aspect. So I was thinking, you know, maybe you could talk about some post-COVID customer service tips.
We can. I just need to know, does your mom, does she have an Apple?
She has, yes, she does. She's an Apple person.
Because the Apple customer care, they will stay on with you for 3 hours. And because it has happened to me, only because my frustrations grow and I can't understand it. But they are beyond, on the 1 to 10 scale, they're an 11. So The frustration usually comes more from the customer than the Apple person. Anyway,
right. And I think that's where it was coming from, was her frustration. I think with herself, maybe.
Oh,
and she was intimidated by technology, you know. But I think about all the, you know, older people that are out there, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they had to, you know, become very dependent on customer service. But it doesn't seem like sometimes it's like the old days where you can get somebody on the phone right away. It's a lot of times, you know, you're redirected and you're not always directed to the right person. But every industry needs customer service, right? And that's why, you know, that's the beauty of your business. I mean, you have a pretty big market, don't you?
Thank you. Yeah, yes, we do. and you just touched on so many things that I want to talk about. And because I'm ADD, I'm going, where do I start? Where do I start? Where do I start?
Okay.
But we cannot let COVID be an excuse. We just cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in. I called her, I don't remember. And I said, where's my whatever? And she said, well, it's COVID. I said, you're kidding. It's COVID? Oh, my gosh. I didn't know. When did that start? So blaming COVID, I'm glad you're laughing because I had to. Blaming COVID is an excuse. Now, we don't let our kids make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we let our teammates
step up to the
plate and hit the ball and say, hey,
we are
understaffed. I apologize. This is coming. You know, if you tried to buy furniture, Marty, I ordered a couch in May. I haven't gotten it yet.
You're kidding. Oh.
So, I mean, I'm not.
Wow.
And they're thinking maybe April, you know, maybe April. So it's taking 9 to 12 months for some things, not everything, for some things to get through. And the supply chain is another issue they blame it on. But and it's the truth.
Right.
You know, COVID is here. I don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know how long it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
You have to wear masks or whatever. Move on. And I don't have an answer for COVID other than everybody's pretty much in the same boat.
Right.
Everybody's pretty much in restaurants. And the way to do it is just up the surface, put that phony smile on if you need to, like we're doing now. But you know what I'm talking about. It just speaks volumes. It speaks volumes to say something with a smile and say, you know, Mr. McDermott, I apologize. It's just, it's all screwed up and we will get it fixed for you. There doesn't need to be an excuse. As long as you tell the person, we will get it fixed to you. It may take a little longer than you want it to, but we will get it fixed for you, sir.
Right.
And the blood pressure just drops and drops and drops a little each time. So,
that's the frustrating part, Nancy.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you know, the frustrating part is that, you know, I think for me, I mean, I think, you know, in my assessment of looking at COVID over the last couple of years is, I mean, not everyone is cut out for customer service. You mentioned something last time I had you on the show. I mean, you talk about something called, I think you call it the care gene, right? Is, you know,
the care
not
gene. Yeah, good for you.
Right. Not everybody has that, though, do they? The care gene. And I think it's a critical part, you know, and that's what I'm saying, that I think customer service should be part of every organization as far as training goes, you know. I mean, and unfortunately it's not, and I don't understand that because there's a lot of businesses losing customers, and I can't understand why, you know, it must be frustrating to lose a customer because you have poor customer service. I just think it must be very frustrating for businesses.
Oh, it is. My own son just sent an email to me. He said, I hated to write this letter to the president of a bank that we've been doing business with for 35 years. And my son wrote an email saying to him, you know, I apologize for the letter, but I put in an email to your bank 2 weeks ago for a loan to have somebody call me. And it's been 2 weeks. Joe, nobody's called me back. So therefore, I went someplace else. Now, that's a loan that they lost. What else are we losing? It's all an excuse. It's all an excuse to say, well, we're understaffed. Well, we can't do this. Well, you can't do that. People are tired of the excuses. I know because I hear, hey, why do I have to hear so many excuses to get something done?
Right. It's so true.
I wish I had a better answer than that. But let's just watch what happens when you don't make excuses and just say, we are working on it. We will get it fixed. I will keep you updated. Communications, and that's why it's the four C's of communication is so important, because communicating with somebody, a phone call, an email, a text saying, we're still on this for you. We have not forgot. People think you forgot about them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I don't know if I ever told you this story. Many years ago, I guess I was in my early 20s, Nancy, I went to bartending school. You know, I said, what am I going to do with my life? I wasn't really sure in my young 20s. So attending school. And one of the things they teach you in bartending school is not to make a drink, but to say hello to the customer. You know, that's right. That's rule number one is you always have to greet the customer. And you know, that doesn't always happen in today's world.
I love to hear
world.
That. That's wonderful.
It is. It's a great, and that was always the first lesson. Right,
sorry,
I can't picture. No, it's okay. Right, because I don't have that image of a bartender. Right, exactly.
You don't. You're a professor.
It's so true. It's like, yeah, that was a very long time ago, you know. But I thought you'd like
but
that story.
Right. They're right.
Yeah, it's more important. Yes, absolutely. One of the four C's, Nancy, is civility, and I think you know what you're talking about there is, you know, I guess the just being polite. You know, you mentioned talking with a smile. I think, you know, Dick came up with the, I think he gets credit for this one. He said a phony smile is better than a real frown. That's
yes,
so
he
true,
does. On
it?
A paper napkin, a paper vodka napkin. Yes, he got that.
That's
thank
great.
You. You've got a great memory or good notes. But either way, the civility, what has happened to it today? Please thank you and you're welcome. We beat our kids into that to say that. Tell the lady please. Tell the lady thank you. Say
right.
You're welcome.
Right.
It hasn't disappeared totally. The other day somebody did hold an elderly gentleman at the door for me, and I said, civility is not dead yet.
Right, exactly. It's so true, isn't it?
It's going down the wayside, and I feel badly for our kids today. I really, really do. I don't want to get into any politics. But
sure.
Our topics of communication, customer service, I don't think you can find it in any curriculum. In any high school, college,
no.
Or even you know, grade school,
right. I totally agree with that, Nancy. You know, it should be right. It's a political discussion, but right, it should be taught in you know to our young children. You know, and it's not my grandfather. I don't know if I ever told you this story, Nancy. My grandfather, he came from Tunis, Tunisia. You know, when you look at me, you probably don't see any roots towards Tunis, Tunisia, but that's where he's from. And he never mastered the English language well, but he always said to me, he said, you know, in America, all you need is really like five words. He says, please, thank you, you're welcome, hello, and goodbye. And he said, you can get by. and you can have a life
wonderful.
Here in America, you know, and I always remember that, you know, and I tried to, instill that in my son,
that's
you know. Thank you. Yeah, I think of all these stories when I talk to you. But, you know, one of the things that I love about your presentations is that you have a sense of humor, you know, and I think that's so important when it comes to customer service, too, isn't it? Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because some people, when they see that, they say, well, I'm not a comedian. You know, how do I have a sense of humor?
That comes under culture. I was on a panel a while back, and they were all talking about these big, humongous companies, Marty. This is our culture, and this is our culture, and we do this, and we do that. Nancy, what about you? What's going on at Telephone Doctor and Service Skills? And I said, of all the things that you said, I've not heard sense of humor as a culture. So that's what Telephone Doctor and Service Skills, our e-learning platform, has been based on. Our family, our dinner table, when our kids were growing up, I mean, it was the most fun place in the world to be. And I don't know about that today, but the bottom line is, if you don't have a sense of humor in business, and I'm not talking about telling jokes or being a comedian, the ability to, you know, self-deprecate every once in a while, make fun of yourself, have some fun, it makes a wealth of difference, a huge difference. I can't spread it any better than that. Thank you. These programs are filled with humor, and that comes from my growing up. And you ask any real comedian, you ask any Jerry Seinfeld, Don Rickles, if you could get a hold of them.
Yes.
You know, any of those great comedians, what were their family table dinners like? And they're going to say, it was always our sense of humor. It was always pop saying something funny. It was always making fun of mom in a loving way. There's so much people could do with their sense of humor. Now, like the keratin, not everybody has a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for those people. They can't laugh at themselves.
Right.
They make a mistake. They go hysterical instead of saying, you know, what a dummy. You know, well, thank God I can fix it, you know.
Right.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one. But it's an important one. It's so important to have a great sense of humor. And that doesn't mean making fun of other people. It means making fun of yourself.
Sure. Right, right. Absolutely. We had issues with our mobile phone. It was a billing situation, Nancy, with I don't have an Apple. We have I wouldn't even say the company. But nevertheless, the gentleman that was helping us, he had this wonderful sense of humor, you know, and I think that's so important in customer service, you know, because we didn't feel, I guess, as bad as the situation was. You know what I mean? He really,
well put.
Yeah, he put us at ease because he was joking around a bit, you know, and
exactly.
He just
said the word. He put you at ease. He put you at ease, which is, you know, what it's all about.
Exactly.
I had to call the cable company a couple months ago, and this is what she was reading to me. Mrs. Friedman, I am so sorry you are having trouble. My name is Mary for the 17th time, and I'm here to help you. And I said, Mary, would you do me a favor? Mrs. Friedman, I am here to help you. What can I do for you?
Right.
I said, turn the piece of paper that you're reading from over and just talk to me like I'm your mother.
Right.
And she said, really?
And did
she
do that?
Yeah. She says, what's going on? I said, now we're talking.
Right.
Now we're talking. What's going on?
Right.
You know, how can I help you? But they get that scripted mentality.
Yeah.
You're reading it. You know, Marty, and you've heard me say this before, scripts are for actors. Actors know how
right.
to read a script.
That's right. You know how to read a script.
Susie Smith, you know how to. But Susie Smith that's growing up and comes out of high school, she doesn't know how to read a script.
Right.
One of the hiring techniques I used to do is hand somebody a newspaper or a magazine and say, pretend you're on Fox News and read me this first paragraph like your life depends on it.
Right. Right. Wow. That's powerful.
I couldn't do it.
But it's interesting, Nancy, because it seems like so many companies are still using that, right? I mean, you can tell. I always wonder what it must be like for you, because you're the telephone doctor, you know, and it must be interesting for you every time you talk to someone in customer service. It must be an interesting experience for you, because you're the teacher, you know. I always wonder what that's like.
Yeah, but I don't judge. I don't judge until I've trained. Because if I judge to somebody who's not been trained, that's not fair on me. It's not fair to them. I think I told you. I keep saying I think I told you. But whether I did or not, I'm going to tell you again.
Mm-hmm.
I was chosen to do about a 10-city tour with the largest communication company in the United States at the time. And you can guess who it was. So I get to the first call center, and she said, would you like to hear some calls? I said, yeah. So I listened to a bunch of calls. And she says, well, what do you think? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Tell me how you hire your people. She's, we bring them in. We give them scripting. We give them reading. We give them math. We give them a whole list of things. I said, where's the voice lesson? She's, what do you mean? I said, do you ever listen to them on the phone before you hire them? Because the voices were horrible. I mean, they were drones. There were no expressions. There was no smile.
Right.
And she said, we don't do that. I said, you should start. You're bringing me in to hear the hardcore stuff. And I'm telling you, don't hire somebody without talking to them on the phone first, if that's what you're bringing them in for.
Right. So, that is very powerful. When I was I was working on Madison Avenue in the late 1990s, Nancy, they used to always tell us to put a mirror in front of ourselves. Right. So. And they said, always, you know, smile, you know. And there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? You can tell when someone's smiling. I can tell you're smiling.
I'm looking at the one the telephone doctor produced years ago, and I'm going to send you a picture of it. And it says, be friendly before, you know who it is.
Right.
So, you got to smile before you pick up that phone.
You've
got this thing going so flowingly well. How long have you been doing this, Marty?
I've been doing this for 15 years now. But I have to tell you that not every show is like this. You know, I was telling my wife Connie how excited I was to interview you today, because it's just like I feel like I'm having a cup of coffee and I'm talking to an old friend. You know what I mean? So it's fun for me, you know, to have these interviews with you, Nancy. You were talking about culture, Nancy. There was there's this great quote that I share with my students. It's from Peter Drucker, and he says that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And what he was talking about was that, I mean, you could have the best strategy or plan in the world, but if the culture is weak, the strategy is never going to get executed. So it seems like, I guess, a lot of this goes back to, and you've been doing this such a long time now too, is culture, right? I mean, that's really, I guess, one of the key elements of exceptional customer service,
it is.
Isn't it?
And it's just, you know, top-down mentality. It's got to start at the top. If the CEO doesn't have a sense of humor, the vice president won't have a sense of humor. Then the vice president of marketing won't have a sense of humor. And the trickle-down mentality. You can name the companies where you see them advertised, or not advertised, interviewed. And you've interviewed great CEOs,
yes.
And you know the ones that have a sense of humor, and the ones that,
yes.
Okay, what's your next question? You know,
right.
Again, yes, culture has a lot to do it, and I love Peter Drucker, and I love the that phrase, culture eats strategy for breakfast. I love your little quotes.
I steal them from other people, by the way. I never come up with them on
my
own. I always try to give credit, you know, to the source. And I imagine the culture. Again, I've never been to your headquarters, but I imagine the culture at Telephone Doctor is very positive, it's enthusiastic. I know you have a lot of your family working with the business. I don't know if Dick is still involved in it, but you have your children involved in it, you know, and I imagine it's a very positive culture, isn't it?
Very positive. In fact, when we get the Nora negatives, we use the best thing I can say about Telephone Doctor, it's mother, father, daughter, son. That's the only family. We got 20 employees, so we got 16 non-related, if you will. But if you start out with, you know, it's so cloudy out today, that's a downer for anybody at Telephone Doctor.
Right.
It's just
just
those simple little things, you know.
Yep.
So yeah, we don't keep them very long when they're downers. And I will say that most of our employees are well over 15 to 20 years. Now we get two at 35 years.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
It is a fun place to work. And we get stuff done. David's doing. I stepped into CEO, and he took over as president, and he's just whipping it up with the service skills. I'm very proud of Linda, who's vice president of client services. Yada yada yada.
That's terrific. I mean, you must be very proud of them, Nancy. And I imagine, as you said, I mean, you give those statistics. You know, is the average employee works for Telephone Doctor a very long time. I don't know if you're familiar with we have a supermarket out here in the Northeast. They're called Wegmans. Wegmans out where you are?
They're not.
Okay.
Kudos to them, because I understand they blow your mind. You know, it's just.
They do. They totally blow my mind, because they it seems like every year they're in Fortune magazines, it's top 100 companies to work for, and they've always in the top 10 for the last I think it was 20 years. But their employees have a very high level of job satisfaction. In other words, they don't call out sick. Yeah, and that's amazing, because it's a supermarket. And, you know, if you ever go in one, you know, and you ask someone, you say, where's the ketchup? You know, they'll actually walk you to that aisle, you know. But that, you know, I've always felt that having a high level of job satisfaction, that high level of satisfaction gets passed on to the customer, doesn't it, ultimately?
It does. I mean, when you talk about franchising, and I know that's our key goal here, and I do want to hit on that, and I don't know how much time we got left. But
we have as much time as you like.
Oh, you're very sweet. You won't cut me out? Okay, good.
I will not cut you out.
Trader Joe's and Whole Foods are much like that. You ask where the ketchup is, come on, let me show you. And let me show you are just fabulous words in any retailer, any situation. Let me show you, instead of pointing over there. So you make a huge, huge importance of fact there. That isn't the way to say it, but I said it anyway.
Right.
and I just lost track of something. I wanted something so important to tell you. Oh, franchising. Mm-hmm. You know, we Telephone Doctor was a franchisor.
Yes.
And I want to talk about why we didn't make it, and it's very interesting.
Yes.
You know enough about franchising to know the following four words, and if you don't do this, you'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the system.
The system, right.
Follow.
That's right.
It's three words. I'm sorry. Follow the
That's
system.
That's okay.
We brought on five franchisees before we had to get rid of very quickly because they did not follow the system. They
right.
Everybody that we hired on, and we found this too late,
right.
thought they knew more than we did.
Yeah.
So they had better ways to do it. They didn't
right.
follow the system.
Right.
So if you're a franchisee and you want to make it work, if you're listening to this, follow the system.
Right.
The franchisors, the people who founded it and created it, found a way to make it work.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I hear it said a lot, just follow the system, follow the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are people who don't want to follow the system.
Right, or can't. Right.
Or can't, right, exactly. And, you know, what happens if McDonald's doesn't use the right sauce?
Right.
It's just not the same hamburger.
Right, exactly. Did you and Dick see the movie The Founder? Nancy, did you get to watch that?
Yes, we did. I didn't want to because I thought it would be so bad, but it was excellent.
Yeah.
And, of course, Keaton's fabulous. Michael Keaton, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was Michael Keaton. I was surprised, right? He was playing the role of Ray Kroc because I never pictured him as Ray Kroc, you know. But that whole movie, I mean, that's the theme because I didn't know that in the beginning, you know, McDonald's, you had a similar situation to McDonald's. I didn't never realize that McDonald's did start franchising before Michael Keaton's character, Ray Kroc, came to town. And they had the same situation was they couldn't find people that were able to follow the system, you
the
know,
system.
And
right.
yeah, and that's a disaster in franchising, isn't it?
It
but
is.
And then you did
it
keep one
really
of your franchisees, didn't you? Yeah. What happened to the franchise
kept,
you did keep?
We kept one because they were willing to do maybe not graciously, but they said okay. You know, I said if you want to stay, this is the way we say it. Telephone
right.
Doctor's a language of positive statements at the top of the conversation. So you will never hear a negative at the top of a conversation from
right.
any of our employees. And, you know,
right.
but they did well and then they didn't do well. And then,
yeah.
then we decided we weren't the best probably for franchising. And I went into speaking to franchising and it worked
right.
out well. And David created Service Skills. So we're
yes.
doing okay, probably better than okay, but still serving the world of franchising, and I love the franchise family, as you call it, or whatever
yeah,
it calls it.
Right.
Even though I'm not a franchisor anymore, but I
yeah.
learned a lot. And whatever I can help to the clients that I bring on, they're pretty big names, so they've already
right.
got it. You know,
right.
Glass Guru and Fast Signs and Big O
yeah.
Tires.
Yeah.
But the ones that you hear that are new, that aren't making it. The franchisees didn't follow the system, in my opinion, I
right.
bet.
Right. We in the 750 interviews I've done, Nancy, you know, it is interesting that not all of those franchisors did make it. You know, I mean, there were some interesting concepts that I've interviewed over the years, you know, and I'm sure there was a several
yeah.
different reasons why, yeah, they didn't make it, you know, but it's interesting because you've branded yourself very well,
right.
you know, in that franchise community, haven't you? You know, is when I think of
oh.
franchising, you know,
yeah.
you've done an exceptional job. You know, and it must be, what's the experience like for you, Nancy, in working with these franchisors and franchisees?
Very rewarding, very
yeah.
rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I'm able to help them in an area that they've got good people.
Right.
But if I can tweak a word or two when they, and usually they send me a phone call. It's like, what's it, you know, somebody just sent me one and nobody used anybody's name.
Right.
The simple little things, Marty, the simple, you know,
yes.
that's what killed the Titanic. Those little holes in the bottom of the
right.
boat.
Right. Right. Right.
And then all of a sudden the big iceberg hit, but it's the
yep.
simple little details that we overlook, that in my opinion, that Telephone Doctor can help just with a tweaking of a word. Not using a name is how do you get a name? People don't know how to. What's your name? You know.
Right.
How do you spell that?
So right.
it's all these little things. It's tone of voice. It's the smile in your voice. It's a whole lot of stuff. But I don't know how to say this without sounding. I'm having so much fun. I just don't ever want it to end. It's just I'm blessed, and now I'm curved little, what do they call it, sidelined on on-site programs, but it is what it is, and I'm not blaming COVID. I'll take the Zoom programs.
Sure.
If that's what they got to get, then there's plenty of all kinds of meetings, franchising and non, corporate America,
right,
that are still going to have Zoom programs because teams don't want to be there.
Right.
But
and I do.
I
think it's so important, Nancy, and this is where your service comes in, is you teach, you're right. It's the little things that make a difference. My dad, I don't know if you read this book. It was in my young 20s again, and my dad gave me a book. It was by Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People. Not everybody's right, but I think everyone should read that book. What's amazing about that book is it's so old, but yet the principles still apply to today. And Dale Carnegie mentions in the book, it's just the secret of just like using people's names, in a conversation. I think it just people like to hear their name, don't they?
Marty, they do.
Yeah. It's so true. Everything
old is new again. My mother had a wonderful saying, Nancy, there's very little new, just new people doing it.
Yeah, wow.
And that keeps
that's
me
powerful.
Humble.
Yes.
That keeps me
that's
humble
powerful.
Because, didn't your son must have told you jokes that your father told you that his father told him.
Sure.
And your son thinks it's the greatest thing since like
right.
peanut butter when
funny.
He was
like he's hearing it for the first time. Exactly.
It's so true. And these speakers there's an old story, and again if I'm taking up too much time, just shush me up.
No, not at all.
The first time you hear something you can say, my dear friend Marty McDermott, who has an interview show, gave me this information. The second time they say it is a friend of mine told me about this. And the third time they say, here's what I think. So it goes from credit to nothing in three presentations. I can tell you that I won't name names of the keynote speakers that I've heard other people say, and they take it like it's their own.
Right, exactly.
So
it's so true, though, isn't it?
Well, you are blessed with giving credit. I, with all my heart, try to remember to give credit. Because it's just so important that you're not, I miscredited if whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And I posted it one day. I forget who.
Right. It's interesting because I posted that in a blog. It's become commonplace now, hasn't it? And my son actually said
like
that
cleaning.
To me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I remember my son saying that to me. He said, Daddy, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. I got that from, I think, my father, but my dad got it from somebody else. I don't know who gets credit for that tagline, but you're still right about that.
I've heard Henry Ford is what I've heard, the word stops,
right?
The buck stops there. But and maybe he heard it from someone.
And he
who
probably
knows?
Got it from his father or somebody else. It's so true.
But if you look up Henry Ford things, you'll see his name attached to it. I believe Dick made me aware of that. He says you got the wrong name, Nancy. Credit the right person.
Oh,
and maybe it's
funny.
Because we've got copyright information out there in our videos. So
right,
everybody who's got copyright is concerned whether.
Of course,
it's kept up that way. So
right.
I very hard if I'm quoting somebody, I absolutely give them credit. Whether
right.
like you say it's your grandfather or your father, you didn't just create it; you just sat down to talk.
Right, exactly. It's so true. How does social media? I mean, how has social media changed the game? Nancy, I mean, again, you've been doing this such a long time now, but I mean, social media was something new 15 years ago. But how has it changed when it comes to customer service today?
Well, the only way I can talk about that from experience is people mm-hmm. say, you know, I've got online, I've got Yelp, I've got this, you know, how do I answer
those? Right.
But I'm slow to social media. I love LinkedIn and Bob.
Yes,
did I tell
you
I got booked? Ousted from Facebook. I got back on. But I was 6 months.
Really?
They wouldn't let me back on.
You're kidding.
It was a long story.
Wow, I'd love to hear that story one day. Oh my.
Well, I'll tell you.
I can't imagine you getting banned from Facebook.
Anyway, I got back on yesterday after 6-8 months of not being on. Anyway, bottom line, LinkedIn is where my audience is, and that's anybody
yes.
who's listening and wants to link in with me. I would love it.
Yeah.
Marty
yeah.
is very active in it. Your interviews,
yeah.
I cannot listen to them all, but
yes.
where I can, you're.
I know you do. Yeah.
You create such an intimacy with your people. And it's
Thank
just, you.
You
know, Larry King had that, Rush had that.
Thank you.
The big greats. They let
Thank
people
you.
Talk, but, you know, there's somebody, I've been on podcasts where I didn't know I was even on it because the host wouldn't let me talk.
I've heard some of those podcasts, too, and some of, they're awful, aren't they, sometimes? I just,
You know, you want to listen to what somebody's got.
Right.
To say, and it's
yeah.
a 50-50, I guess. I've never done it. I mean, I don't own a podcast.
You should, though, right. I could see you doing a podcast, Nancy. But, you know, you hit an important part of this conversation is I was reading a book over Christmas break. I think it was by, Gail Fairhurst. And she said that a lot of people believe just because they're talking, it means that they're communicating. But you're very big on the whole concept of listening as well. You're an exceptional listener, you know, but a lot of people have trouble with that aspect of communication, don't they?
Well, the reason I'm a fairly good listener is I write
mm-hmm.
as you talk.
Wow.
So when
Smart.
I'm on the phone, Respected. When I'm on the phone, I make notes. And
I see.
And not, I mean, I don't have every word we've said here, but I can
right.
go back to what we were talking about and say, well, I want to talk to you. You talked about care gene for a moment or some
right.
blah, blah, blah. And
right.
So I feel I'm a good listener by taking notes,
yes.
and that's, you know, obviously in some of our training.
Right.
The minute somebody answers the phone and says, hi, this is just Susie Smith, write down Susie. So you
right.
don't have to say, and what was your name again?
Right, exactly.
That should never, ever be uttered from your mouth.
Right.
Now, the worst is when somebody says, can I take a message? Yes, please have them call me. Wait a minute, I got to get a pencil. I don't understand. I don't understand how a
right.
pencil and paper can't be by every
right.
every phone in the world.
Right.
I think it should be sold. I think every phone should be sold with paper and pencil. It just
right.
boggles my mind
right.
why I have to wait while somebody says, wait a minute, I got to get a pencil. And then this happens. Oh, shoot, it doesn't work. Wait a minute, I got to
right.
get another one. Oh, shoot. Okay,
right.
Broken pencil.
Okay. Right. So. Exactly. We've all been in that situation, haven't we? You know, and
yes,
and it seems,
we have. Yes,
you know.
Yeah, but if you look at my desk and all everywhere around the phone, there's 6 or 7 pencils with little pads. Right. You know, take a nap and write on your hand.
Right.
Or, you know, write on your hand.
Exactly.
Do something. Don't say what was your name again. Anyway.
Right.
I'm on my mobile,
yeah.
So.
I think it's called. I think they call that. No, it's okay. I think they call that active listening, Nancy. I was reading a book by his name's Andrew Dubrin, and he was talking about how to become a better active listener. And he talks about paraphrasing. You know, is in other words
right.
to you know say you know what you just said to me, Nancy, is this. So you make sure that you have understanding. I have a funny 30-second paraphrasing story. I was teaching for my first business school. Back in, oh God, it was the early 2000s, and I had my first big meeting with the dean, and I'm sitting in the dean's office, and I said, okay, I'm going to paraphrase what he just said to me. So he gave me all the directions on what he wanted me to do, and I said, okay, Dean Friedman, so what you said to me is bop, 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 and he says, no, that is not what I said to you. And it made me realize the power of paraphrasing, because if I didn't say that, we wouldn't have had understanding, you know, and I would have worked on this project and it would have been a total disaster. So there's a lot of power to active listening and all those techniques that you teach your clients, isn't it?
Follow the system.
Yeah.
If this is what I say to
right.
do, then do what
do
I
it.
Say to do.
Right.
I'm sure that's what my father used to say when I said, okay, I'm going to do this. That's not what I said, Nancy. That's not what I said.
So, right.
Yeah, listening skills are, that's an art, not a science. And everybody, well, not everybody, but most people hear, but they don't really listen, I mean, to what you're saying. Just yeah to death.
Right.
Like that.
It's
no,
I'm true.
That's
so true. But
it's
what's your experience like, Nancy? I mean, in dealing with all of these different franchises, I know I can never say, okay, do you have a favorite franchise or do you have a favorite like category or something like that? But I mean, does anything like one of the things that surprises me today with franchise, when I first got into this back in, I got involved in franchising in 1999, there was only, I think it was like 1200 franchise systems in the US. And I think today they said there's yeah, I think it was like 3,500 or 4,000 different systems. I guess it must be interesting for you to deal with all types of franchises, big and small, isn't it?
I'm glad you brought that up, only because one of my questions for you was, how did you get into franchising? Now, maybe that's another show down the road over summer or something.
Yeah.
In an elevator speech, I've never heard how you got into the franchise interviews. Were you with a system?
It's
so much for watching.
It's a story. It's funny. The story is similar to yours and how you got involved with Telephone Doctor. Because I remember you telling the story. I think it was your insurance company, wasn't it? You were dealing with them. You wanted to cancel your policy, and they were impressed with you. They wanted to talk to you first before I guess you left. You know, and they realized that you could offer a lot of value, you know, your and I think your acting background and everything you did before that led to Telephone Doctor, didn't it? I mean, all that experience helped.
In a nutshell. Yeah. In a nutshell. Yes.
Yeah. But
so
with
how
how does that
compare to your story?
Right. How does it really say, well, how does that compare? I say it was an accident because what happened was I was working on Madison Avenue and I started this business opportunity website. I had to book advertisers for a website, and the internet was new back in 1999. So I heard about this. It was a franchise show at the Jacob Javits Center, and that's what it was called at the time in New York.
Right.
So I went to my first franchise show, and I go in. I was expecting to see like KFC and McDonald's and things like that, and I saw all these different types of franchises. Like there was like shoe repair franchises and print franchises. And I said, oh my God, I said, this is interesting, you know? And so I started booking advertisers franchises. I said, you know what? I have this franchise book. I think it was called the Bonds. I think it was Bonds Franchise Directory. And I just called every one of them in the book, you know? And I said, I have this business opportunity website. I think you'd be a great advertiser on it. And, you know, I did well. But I discovered a website. It was called Franchise America. And they were coming up like a top placement on Google, but they had no advertisers on the website. So I called the owner of the website and I said, you know, I said, I think we should talk. I said, you're coming up number one on Google. You have no advertisers. You know, I think I can help you. And we ended up forming a partnership. It was based in Florida, and we took off because it was one of the first franchise websites on the internet.
Wow. That's
and
a powerful story, Marty.
Yeah, thank you.
And
yeah,
I can't believe
I never told you that story.
If you did, I would have remembered that one.
I didn't. I never told you the story. Yeah. Yeah, I never told you. I don't talk. It's interesting you mention it because I don't talk about it much on my podcast. You know, it's and it's funny with franchise interviews too, Nancy. What's interesting for me is that, you know, 15 years ago, there were hardly any podcasts on the topic of franchising.
Right.
Today, if you Google it, I think you'll see like about 35 or 40 of them, you know? And I said, oh my God, you know, it's, so I was there at the beginning. I think that's one of my motivations of keep doing the show, you know, as I said, okay, I was there first, you know? So,
yeah, well, you were there first, and you're probably in the top three or five because I know of a few, but
yeah,
you know,
and there's some good ones too, and I've actually become friends with some of them too, like through LinkedIn. You know, I actually listen to their show sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and it helps me. I'll tell you a secret. Like sometimes, I mean, if I'm going to have a guest on the show, you know, and I've never interviewed them before, you know, I could easily go to, you know, a competitor's podcast and listen to it, and I know everything about that guest you know, so when I have them on the show, it just helps me.
That's interesting. And you are so good at that. I mean, whether you have notes in front of you or you have a phenomenal memory, doesn't matter. You bring up the past to which where people are so appreciative. I'm a big Larry King fan. I was told, never met him,
yes.
If you came on his show and had a book to promote, he would not read the book. He just wanted to ask questions about the book like you and I would ask.
Right.
So he never read the book ahead of time, and I found that very surreal, very interesting. I'm sort of like that. I like to ask my own questions, even if they're silly questions or not silly.
Sure.
I'm honored to be on you. It's three or four times we have.
Thank you for saying that. Do you remember the time you and I did? I've only did this once in 750 shows. I did it, you know, because I was a big fan of James Lipton, you know, is inside the Actors Studio.
I remember that. Yes.
And you having an acting background, I know you've probably certainly seen the show, because I find actors to be. And I don't have an ounce of talent, I think, when it comes to acting, but I just find them to be the most interesting people, you know? Is there something about them that just draws me to them, you know? Maybe because I don't have
that. You probably have more than you're giving yourself credit for, number one. But number two, my husband made an interesting observation. Every time we see a famous actor on the nighttime shows or anything, or even on Tucker, even on any of the news shows, they're not very glib. They don't have a script to follow, so they don't know what to say.
Right.
So you've got to be a real good questionnaire to get this succinct answer from them, or they look around and they chew gum and they just, you know, and I'm not going to belittle anybody who I've seen that just doesn't have an interview mentality. And there are some that have wonderful, wonderful interview mentalities and can answer you intelligently. But some of them just don't know how to answer, you know, hey, what'd you do with your vacation? Mexico and, I don't know, just had a good time. So.
Right.
And anyway.
You told a funny story, and this is from my memory. As I remember you telling a funny story, it made me laugh. Was that you said, you know, sometimes if you haven't seen someone in, like, let's say, you know, 20 years, I just recently saw one of my cousins.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen him in 20 years. And, you know, so you say, what's going on? And nothing, you know, and say, nothing's happened in 20 years. Right. There's got to be something you can say, right? It's just, but it's so true, though. They're all right. There's people out there, I guess, that are like that. And those people are probably not fit for customer service either. You know, we were talking about franchising, Nancy, but not everyone's fit, and you know this better than I do, for a customer service position, are they? Like, what are some of, like, the traits that you find in the best customer service reps? We talked about following the system, and I think it's something that's teachable. You know, I believe, and I might be wrong on this, but someone like yourself might be able to teach anyone to be a better customer service rep. But what are some of those traits, I guess, that make someone?
Well, the top trait, without thinking, the top trait goes to sense of humor. It has to do a sense of humor, no matter how serious.
Mm-hmm.
I got a funeral client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's funny about the funeral business? Other than the word FUN is in the spelling of funeral, there's nothing really funny about somebody passing and that. And yet, relieving some of the tension without becoming, I can't think of the word, I'm sorry, obvious about it.
Right.
Really helps. And we've all lost somebody. And the minute somebody tells you to think about the good stuff and the funny things about Pop, you put a smile on your face.
Sure.
So sense of humor, obviously, in the customer service world, and I'll tell you this secret, and I leave it for you to share with your audience. You don't you cut it or keep it. I would keep. And that's when I'm having a very difficult situation, Dick and I created the system, and I say we created because I've never heard anybody else use it. Mm-hmm. I will go up to somebody and say, I need you to be in a good mood.
Right.
And everybody says, oh, okay, yeah, what can I do for you? It just changes. So that sometimes the customer needs to be in control. If I see a poopy face customer service person, I come up and I say, I need you to be in a good mood. Can you do that for me? Because I got an issue. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, here we go.
Right.
So I'm controlling the conversation, and I'm telling like a child, you know, give me a smile, you know, that is critical. And I can't think of too many instances, serious instances, et cetera. Even saying, hey, Mrs. Friedman, we can get this for you. Okay, we are on this for you. That's confidence statements is critically important without BSing somebody.
Sure.
You know, if there's a long wait, then say, we have a four-week wait, but I promise you I'm going to watch for cancellations. I promise you I will, you know, I've got a little reminder file here, and I will be back to you within that time frame. And then, of course, do it. It's when you don't keep the promises.
Yeah.
Keep your promises, I guess, is another...
The list is so long, Marty, we could talk for hours. Sure, I know it is. Right, but you're right, though. I totally agree with you. I think that sense of humor is just so important. You know, and you could apply that to, you know, leadership or, you know, really,
yes.
you know, a lot yes. of different concepts, couldn't you? You know, so I think it's so true. So what's the future, Nancy, of Telephone Doctor? I know, you have your... Yeah, you know, your children are doing, they're a big part of the organization. I mean, what's the future of Telephone Doctor, you know, in the next year or 2 years down the road?
Years ago, people would say, Nancy, if you get hit by a car, what happens to Telephone Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I don't think there will be a person involved. The company is the parent company to ServiceSkills.com, which is a 19 series, it's a boutique, unique online learning.
Right.
So basically, you can say we have two divisions. We have online learning and we have Nancy Zoom. And God forbid something happens to me, we'll just have ServiceSkills.com. But I believe the content will live. And that's really what's really important to me is the content.
It's out there, right.
It doesn't get changed. My kids know. They've got it down pat. They were brought up with it. They live it. We've got it, and all our employees know what the content is, and then when you watch the videos on Service Skills, and I'm not the only thing. We got 19 different series on, you know, communications management.
Wow!
If you ever go to ServiceSkills.com, you know, you don't have to go now, but it's a nice array of a mixture for a company to take on, because there's just a little bit of everything. There's even a little fun thing on sexual harassment.
Is there really?
No,
wow.
I said fun thing because it's done with animals instead of people.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I have to make less, right?
they're little vignettes. They're maybe running a minute or 2 minutes on not only sexual harassment, but all sorts of different things, all the ones that we know today.
Right, that we need today. No, it's so true. You know, is there any more books in your future, Nancy? I know you've written so many books. You know, and I've read several of them over the years, too. Do you see another book in the future?
Yeah, Dick and I are working on the toolbox of customer service.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to come up with the A to Z of the toolbox, like an anvil. How can you use an anvil
that's
in
clever.
Service? And the B and the C will be a chisel and the D, you know, that kind of thing. So,
I'd love to see you do an audio version of your book, too. Like, I could see you reading your book, like, I love books on Audible. I could see you going into a studio and reading your book. Like, I would love to hear a book read from Nancy Friedman.
Thank you for that idea that was brought up years ago.
Really? It would be great. Well, because you have
the voice for it, too.
You have that pleasant voice. So, I mean, I could see you doing something like that, because I know I don't think you've ever done it before, you know, but I think.
I have not. I'd have to off mic, we'd have to say, Nancy, this is where you go to Audible. I don't know if I pay them or they pay me or whatever it is.
Yeah, they have their own studios, Nancy, because I looked into it, actually. You know, so some of them have their own studio, like where you can go to like an Audible headquarters or something like that, and they have the studio there. And I always wonder, though, how they do it, though, because I'm thinking from the reading standpoint, it must be hard to, like, read your own book. You know what I mean? It's just – so you have that acting background, so it probably flows nice, you know, but –
that's a great idea. Thank you. I am going to follow up on that.
I think you should do it. Yeah, I think there's studios out there that would record it as like an MP3 that could be used as an Audible file. I think that would be. I would love to see you do that. You know, because
I'm doing it. I love it, Marty. Thank you.
That would be great. You're most welcome. Yeah.
That's a high note to finish up on if we have to. But I really appreciate that. I've got a big note here, Marty. Says.
I'll be the first to get the book because I'm like a podcast Audible junkie. I'm listening to audiobooks all the time, and I love that, you know, because I could do two things at once. Then, you know what I mean?
They go on a treadmill or they go on a bike ride.
Yes,
you know they're listening to an audio. That's great.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
right. That's so true. What's the best way, Nancy, for our listeners to get information on everything that you do, all the different services? You can plug any of all the websites that you have, or social media or anything you like.
No, you're very gracious. ServiceSkills.com will get you the online, and that's ServiceSkills with an S.
Okay.
I highly encourage people to check that out and ask for a demo. Demo's complimentary. And then if they liked anything you and I said, it's NancyFriedman.com, FRIED,
okay.
I before E, except after C.
Okay.
IB4E, NancyFriedman.com. And I obviously my very gracious thanks to a wonderful interview. You're very, very good at what you do.
Thank you. Well, it takes a great interviewee to have a great interview. You know, not all interviews go like this.
I can't believe it's whatever time it is.
Yes, I know. It's like a whole hour has gone by. I know, but I knew. Coming up on segment two, you're going to hear what every franchisepreneur needs to know before buying a franchise. We're going to play a clip from our popular Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? Franchise Interviews, an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Well, one of the shows I strongly recommend listening to if you're an aspiring entrepreneur is Stop Riding the Pine. And the show is hosted by Jamie Jay, and Jamie is an amazing interviewer. He speaks with entrepreneurs on a variety of topics, and I had the pleasure of appearing on Stop Riding the Pine, and one of the topics that Jamie and I were focusing on were key elements to successful franchising. So this particular clip of Great Quote in Franchising, we're going to call this There's No Creativity in Franchising, and we're going to explain why. What do I want this franchise to do for me? You know, why are you considering getting into franchising? Because, you know, a lot of times people that get into franchising, Jamie, I think probably should not get into franchising. They'll go into it for the wrong reasons. Well, they'll see the success of one franchise and they'll say, God, I wish I owned one of these. But
right. That
doesn't mean that they should necessarily buy into a Dunkin' Donuts franchise. And sometimes they go into the wrong franchise opportunity. So they might be suited for a franchise, but they're getting into the wrong franchise, you know? So I think you really have to be open, you mm-hmm. know, to all the different categories that are out there. Again, going deep within yourself and asking yourself, what do I want this franchise to do for me? If you don't want to work on weekends, you know, then don't get into one of these like children franchises where they're real busy on Saturdays or Sundays. You know, so you have to say, you know, what do I want it to do for me? You know, and you ask yourself those deep-rooted questions.
Perfect. I think that's huge. It's very important for people to not jump into something.
Absolutely, because it's expensive too, Jamie. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you're signing a 10-year contract, you know, which mm-hmm. is 10 years of your life. You know, it's a long time, isn't it? I mean, it's
oh my gosh.
Like, I won't compare it to the sanctity of marriage, you know, but
right.
sometimes it goes further than that, you know. I mean, having that 10-year commitment, you know, so it is a very big commitment financially. It's a big commitment. I think you have to have the support from your family, you know, whether it's your wife and your children, because the first year,
typically, from what I've learned in doing this show such a long time now, is it takes a long time to get it off the ground. Even if it is a Subway franchise or, you know, a very recognizable brand name, you're still going to be putting a lot of work into it, you know. So
right.
You might be missing that time from your family. And you know, sometimes people get into franchising for the wrong reasons as well. Maybe they'll have a bad day at work, you know, and they say, oh, I hate my boss. You know,
I'm out of here.
I want to be my own boss, you know. And, you know, again, franchising may not be the best alternative for that type of person. You know, there's so many different types of levels of entrepreneurship. You know, franchising is just one. I mean, you could just initially start your own business where you get to be the creator. You know, there's no, I hate to say this, but there's no creativity in franchising sometimes. You know, I mean, you have to follow somebody else's creation, and that's okay for some people. You know, for me, it wouldn't be, you know, and I'm assuming in getting to know you over time, you know, you might have trouble with that as well, because again, you like to create, you know.
I couldn't get outside of the structure, but I understand why that would be a good thing, because
exactly,
okay, they've been there, they've done that. You won't make the same mistakes that the original franchisor made, because they found the solutions along the way, and that's part of the attraction for fans.
Exactly. I published, yeah, it sounds like I'm bragging, Jamie, but I just got one of a paper published in.
You deserve it.
A journal.
If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Jamie J of Stop Riding the Pine, all you have to do is go to stopridingthepine.com, and you can hear the whole podcast. And lastly, we just want to thank everyone for making this podcast such a big success. It's hard to imagine that we've been doing it now 10 years ago. It was one of the things I was talking about with Jamie on the show, is the longevity of the show. Is, you know, what started out to be a one-month project turned out to be 10 years. So I just want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast and making it such a success. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.